You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Sahab, our next question: is there any virtue or hadith mentioning that we must fast for all or the first 10 days of Muharram?
Alhamdulillah, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah was the outstanding celebrated student of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, and in his Jami'u Tirmidhi, Sunan of Tirmidhi, he brought two separate chapters, one for the month of Muharram and one regarding Ashura. We will mention both. Regarding the month of Muharram, which started today, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The best fast after the month of Ramadan — Ramadan fast is obligatory, mandatory — is the month of Allah. When you say Baytullah for the Kaaba Musharrafa, it is to elevate the rank and status of the Baytullah, the Kaaba Musharrafa. So likewise, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shahrullah, to elevate the rank and status of this month, Al-Muharram, the month of Muharram. So if a person starts today, tomorrow, and fasts for 10 days, 15 days, all is very good. Not only first 10 days, the entire month. But remember again, O Ummah and Muslimah, if a person is qada, then qada must be given preference over this nafil and sunnah fast. Secondly, regarding the day of Ashura, so inshallah, not tomorrow night, Monday night, the following Monday night will be Laylatul Ashura. Our program will be there in Avondale Musalla, inshallah, and it is between Maghrib and Isha, and then after Isha, the Q&A, inshallah. So nevertheless, the point here is that we must then fast on that day. When we say must, it don't mean compulsory. We should try our level best. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. That one year sins, the previous year sins will be forgiven. And that is when you keep the day of Ashura, which will be Tuesday, not this Tuesday, following Tuesday. Thereafter, remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Jews fasting, so said, سُومُوا يَوْمًا قَبْلَهُ أَوْ بَعْدَهُ. 9 and 10th you fast, or 10th and 11th, so Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, the following week, so that we do not mimic and imitate the Jews and non-Muslims. So see, all these are authentic ahadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So therefore, we need to be clear on this issue, that the month also is very good to fast, and the best day of the month of Muharram will be the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram.
Mufti Sahab, please comment on interfaith gatherings.
Today and everywhere you see Europe and America, New Zealand, Australia, when they speak of interfaith, they'll invite one Maulana or Imam or Sheikh or Mufti Sahab from the Muslims. Then they'll invite one pastor or priest from the Christians, a rabbi and then from the Jewish community, and a pandit or somebody from the Hindu community, and so forth. So the first thing you need to know is that they will tell the audience that all these faiths are equal. As far as they are concerned, they all are on par. And therefore, they need to interact and assimilate and integrate with one another. This is how the politicians speak and the government speak with the forked tongue. So that in itself, remember, is kufr. If a person believes that, is out of the fold of Islam. We are not equal with Judaism or Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or any ism. We say, as Muslims, the only religion which Almighty Allah Jalla Wala selected and chose is Inna Deena Indallah Islam. So the only deen, religion, code of conduct that is acceptable to Almighty Allah is Islam, and every Nabi, every messenger was a Muslim. Today you find some simple Simon Muslim, they will tell you Nabi Musa alayhi salam was a Jew, Allah forbid. Isa alayhi salam was a Christian, Allah forbid. People who make these kind of statements, they themselves go out of the fold of Islam. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyo, wala Nasraniyo, walakin kana Hanifa Muslimo, wa ma kana al-Mushrikeen. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was not a Jew, was not a Christian, was not a mushrik and a polytheist. He was a Muslim. And every Nabi from Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam was a Muslim. So, and always the messages of Islam. So any ism besides Islam is rejected by Almighty Allah, and Almighty Allah has enshrined this, mentioned this in the Noble Quran, Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whoever seeks a religion and looks for a religion besides Islam, it will never be accepted from him, nor now, nor in the future. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. In the year after, he'll be the loser, dispatched to Jahannam, the hellfire, Allah forbid, if he's sane and mature. Surah 3, verse 85. So that's the biggest problem with interfaith. You want to go Imam, Sheikh, Maulana, whoever, tell them this is what the Muslim believe. But you will find 90% of them are apologetic, selling out Islam. They're there just because of the perks and the money they receive. So therefore, we consider such people, they themselves are not doing a service to Islam, but a grave and a great disservice to Islam, and we brand them as munafiqeen and hypocrites.
Mufti Saab, when praying behind an imam, do I have to pray or read the sana, a'udhu billah, bismillah, fatiha, etc.?
Just now, when the program finishes, it will be asr time, depending which part of the world you are. We're speaking of South Africa. So now I go to the masjid and I read behind the imam. So I follow the Hanafi school. Imam says Allahu Akbar. So for asr or any other salat, so I say Subhanakallahumma, I'll read that. So the Hanafi will not read Surah Fatiha or Surah in any rakat behind the imam. Then ruku, Subhana Rabbil Azim, you read. Then you come up, you say Rabbana Walakal Ham. Then in Sajda, Subhana Rabbil A'la. In the ending of Salat, At-Tahiyyat, and then Salawat, Allahumma Salli Ala Sayyidina Muhammad, the dua. So you will not be reading Surah Fatiha. You will not be reading A'uzu Bismillah. You will not be reading a Surah. All that you will not be reading. I go for Salat, I follow the Shafi'i school, or Maliki school, or Hanbali school. So remember, then I have to read Surah Fatiha, especially like in Asr Salat. So that will be compulsory, even though I'm following the Imam. But remember, according to Shafi'is, it's compulsory in every Salat, in every Rakat, you must read Surah Fatiha. Otherwise, your Salat is null and void. La Salata illa bi Fatihatil Kitab. Famous hadith mentioned Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Mustad Ahmad, 7 books we gave you. So remember, that is the dalil, evidence of the Shafi'is. Hanafis quote the Quran and they say, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِئُوا لَهُ. When the Quran Sharif is being read, then listen attentively. وَأَنْسِتُوا, and be silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that the mercy of Almighty Allah envelopes you. So وَلِكُلِّنْ وِجْهَا, every imam has their own dalil, so we respect and love all the imams. Therefore, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a wonderful book, Raf'ul Malam an A'immatil A'lam. We must love the imams, and you don't blame anybody. So that you follow the Shafi, follows the Hanafi, Hanafi follows Shafi, all is fine, there's no problem with that.
Mufti Saab, our next question, is there such a thing as renewing your vows in Islam with regards to marriage?
You see, when does Muslim Ummah, they have that inferiority complex. So in their mind, whole day they're watching Hollywood, they're watching Bollywood, Robin Hood. So now they feel the West is the best and white is right. So whatever the West does, this foolish Muslim, naive Muslim wants to do the same. So after 20 years marriage, 40 years, 50 years, 45 years, they say, let us renew our vows. So we are Muslims, we get married, so now we husband, wife, is our belief that we will stay together, and now husband, wife who passed away, then remember in Jannah also they'll be together. I only have one uncle left in this world. Yesterday I spoke to him, I said, Bamli Kaka, we call him Ibrahim, we know, Ibrahim Kaka, we say Bamli Kaka. I say, "Uncle, how are you feeling?" He say, "I'm missing your auntie, you know. I was married to her 63 years. He's 88 years old now, 87 years old. So, 63 years. So, when we are married, 20, 40, 60 years, so our wife will be with us in Jannah. For the wife, the husband will be with her in Jannah. Not this foolish thing of making renewing vows in Islam, totally haram for imitating the non-Muslim culture. In Islam, totally haram because you're undermining the sacredness of nikah and the institution of nikah. Tomorrow, with the help, mercy, grace of Almighty Allah, we enter Jannah. The beautiful hoors that are there, beyond our description. So we can't just take them and run with them. Nay, Allah says, I will perform your nikah with them first. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Yeah, in this world, I perform nikah. Hafiz Wadi performed this, Imam, this Sheikh performed nikah. There, the institution of marriage and nikah is so sacred, sacrosanct, Allah will perform and solemnize the nikah. So therefore, it's haram to do these things there. It's a mockery of the institution of nikah, and to imitate the non-Muslim culture is also haram.
Mufti Sahib, Islamically, who has more rights over the children if one of the parents happen to pass away?
When the parents pass away, so let's say two, three different scenarios. If the parents, both of them pass away and the children are minors, so remember then you keep them there by the mother's family and you don't separate them. And if they are majors, you know, they are baligh and mature and so forth, so they have attained the age of puberty and so forth, then you keep them by the father's family. And remember, if one parent has passed away, the other one is still alive, so you give them. So that is, you always look at the welfare of the child, and you should not separate them. You know that in Islam, that you should not separate the children in cases like this, one year, one day, one day, because in Islam, they have to bond with one another. Otherwise, I can still remember, we were growing up, my two brothers with me, we three brothers, two sisters, we all together with our parents. Until today, you relish and cherish all those memories, you know, they linger for the rest of your life. So that is what Islam wants. The unity of the ummah can only come when there's unity in the family. So look at the beauty of Islam.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question has come in wanting to know that this person is abusing me all the time. I've got many ulama involved, but this particular person continues. What do I do?
Remember, just change your phone number or just cut off contact or curtail contact with them. So why should you be used? If you are a female and he wants to take advantage of you and so forth, then just advertise. So, you're a male and you are soft by nature and other people take advantage of you and so forth and so on. So you need to be a man and grow up and tell them, you know what, enough is enough and you all are just sponging off me and so forth. And today you see the children, even they know when they're alone, then they will go to the father. Oh, when their mother is there, they'll tell mommy, I love you, and so forth, you know. But when they want money, then they will go to the father or they go to Nana. They'll say, Nana, give that notes. Don't give that coins. Even they don't want coins. You see, they say, not the green one, the brown one. Not the 10 ren one, the 20 ren. So remember. So this is what people will do. That they will want money, they will want this, they will want that. So in Islam, everything works with moderation. So you must tell them, enough is enough. And remember, don't allow people to take advantage of us, more so if they are non-Muslim.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question. This person says, I've been working for possibly 2 to 3 years and now I am unemployed. What dua should I read and anything to do to eradicate this frustrating problem?
First and foremost, brother, if you are unemployed for 2-3 years, so obviously you'll be frustrated and anxiety will take, hold of you. So read abundantly, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Surah 21, verse 87, abundantly, the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salam. Secondly, you want work, you want to be employed, you want that feeling that you can become an asset to this ummah. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam left Egypt and entered Midian. He doesn't know anybody there. He needs boarding, he needs lodging. So when he enters, what does he say? Surah 28, verse 24. Look at the Quran, the beauty, the glory, the style of the noble Quran. Chapter 28, verse 24. Now he enters Midian. Rabbi inni liman zalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Ya Allah, I'm in this new land and new place. Whatever goodness you are sending down, I need it, Ya Allah. Lo and behold, there are two honorable ladies standing one side. They had haya, shame, modesty. Ma khatbukuma, what you all doing here? Said, wa abuna shaykhun kabir. Our father is very old. We're waiting for the men to go away. Then we will fill our buckets and take the water home. He took the buckets, filled it up, everything. The daughters went home early. Father asked, how come? They said, this powerful, strong man is there. We should employ him, father. Ya abatis ta'jir. This is Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam. He is also receiving wahi. He says, Nay, inni uridu an unkihaka ihdabanatayya hatayn. You go and call him, and I'll get one of my daughters married to him. Subhanallah. This is Allah's system. So his boarding is sorted out, his lodging is sorted out, he'll work there for 10 years. So this is Nabi Musa alayhi salam's dua. Every Nabi made certain dua. O Ummah, follow them, because Allah Jalla wala states, Ulaika alladhina hadahumullahu fabihudahu muqtadih. Almighty Allah guided the Anbiya. Allah selected them. They were not elected. You see, when we elect, what happens? We have a circus running around. So you must remember this. These are selected by Almighty Allah. So you follow them. So that is what you see. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us. So read Surah 28, verse 24. Read Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Allah, you are the best of givers. And third one, that read Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu, and Ya Allah, increase my sustenance and risk. Read Salah to all the 5 daily salat, salatul ishraq, salatul duha, and Almighty Allah will, salatul duha is your chast namaz, so Almighty Allah will open many doors for you, my brothers.
Mufti Sahab, our next question is pertaining to the day of Ashura. Is it authentic that one has to spend much more on one's family on that day?
Yes, the hadith is mentioned in Tabarani, Ibn Hibban, Bayhaqi. The hadith is weak but acceptable in virtue. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man wassa'a ala iyali yawma Ashura, wassa'a Allahu sa'ira sanatihi." So when you spend a little bit extra on your wife, your children, and your family, so Almighty Allah will increase your risk and sustenance and provision for that year. Hazrat Sufyan radiallahu rahimahullah says, Jarrabnahu fawajadnahu kadhalik. The year we spent extra on our family, that year Allah made our sustenance easy. And the year we did not do so, so Almighty Allah constrained it, made it but difficult. So yes, so when is it? So we know today is the first of Muharram, so not tomorrow, Monday night, the following Monday night, so will be Laylatul Ashura. So that night there, your husbands tell your wife they must spend a little bit more, make a little bit extra, and you pay for everything. Or during the day, next week Tuesday, not this Tuesday, following Tuesday. So you, hubby, tell your wife, darling, honey, take some money. So you tell your children some extra allowance and so forth, because they're fasting, most of them, or should be fasting. So in that way there, you spend on them, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make your risk easy. But remember that this whole business of gift and all that, which is commercialized today, buy a gift for this one, gift for the that, is not sunnah. Gifts you can give any time. We don't have to wait for Ashura.
Mufti Sahab, is it fine if a person charges for reading on water for Shifa if he has a gift?
Whether he has a gift or not, that's a separate issue. So now in Bukhari Sharif it's mentioned, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu states, does non-Muslim fell sick? And they looked at us, we are pious people, according to them also, Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he was ill and sick, and I read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blew on him. Lo and behold, he recovered. So they gave us, you know, sheep and so forth. So remember, if you take something after you read and you blow and so forth, so it's permissible. But if you got a set fee, you say that people come there by you, and then you will do your ilaj, you will do your treatment and so forth, you will do cupping, or you will blow on them and so forth. So remember, it's jaiz, it's permissible, but we don't encourage this thing here. Because remember, today there are too many bogus things going on. See, I tell you a story of something which very few people know. So that's why me, with Allah's help, I stay very far from all these things. I left, the Hafiz I became there in Heidelberg by my honorable Ustad Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, 68-70, we were finished with Allah's help. 74, it was a Monday, 12th of March, you know, so I left from South Africa. We nearly died in Malawi also. With the Malawi, you know, they told us the plane is going to crash and all that oxygen came out, and they told us brace position. So these Malawi brothers I had now with me there in Malawi. Kabane I sunoto kana manjaba Malawi wara. If you're listening there, I told you all the story. So they told us there's something wrong and we're going. So we started reading and Allah's help came, so we landed back in Malawi and so forth. Anyway, cut long story short, that was 12th of March 1974, Monday. 11th of March, you go back and you can Google it in the archives. Sunday Times, that time there was no extra and all that business. That Sunday Times had the article. And I still remember, you know, Allah was giving me that message. That's what I took it. Muslim is written headline. You go back to Sunday Time, 11th of March, Sunday, 1974. Muslim faith healer rapes girl. So you see, so when I saw that, I said, this field, we must never touch in this type of things. So therefore, these Taweez people, these Jinnat people, everybody, quick buck, you know, quick money. So you must be very, very careful, because most of the time the woman goes there. And then, you know, you leave them alone, man, woman, you can't leave the butter next to the stove. Lot of things happen, brother. So therefore, you must be very careful. But fatwa will be just like the doctor charges, so he's a doctor. But make sure it must not be a witch doctor. That's haram to go to.
Mufti Sahib, moving on, a divorced woman wants to change the surname of her children to her maiden name. Is this permissible?
This is absolutely haram, and Allah's curse will be upon you. Your marriage turned sour. Now, out of spite, you want to take the children, which are your husband's children, okay, now ex-husband, and now the lineage must go to him, but to spite him, now you go and re-register your children because you have custody on your surname. You know what you are telling the world, my sister? You are telling them that all your children are bees, are haramis, are illegitimate children. That is what you are doing. In Islam, the only time that the lineage of children will go to the mother is when they are illegitimate children. So understand the ramifications, the consequences of your deeds and your actions based on enmity and based on spite and, you know, hatred for your ex-husband. How much are you going to poison the mind of your children? So you might deprive him of visitation. All that is haram. So sister, when you do that, man intasaba ila ghairi ahlihi. So now you made the nasab lineage to somebody else, but not the biological father. So Allah's curse, the angel's curse, the people's curse is on you. So you must tell your children, yes, between yourself and their father, things did not work out, but they all are the children of ABC and not your maiden name.
Mufti Sahib, what is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rush off to the masjid to ensure one is in the first saf, or to wait for kids to go to the masjid who are lazy to wake up in the morning?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala gave us both directives. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. So you must save yourself and your children from the fire. Surah 66 verse 6. So you must wake your children up. Remember, Islam teaches us, Allimuhum inda sab'in, teach them about salat at the age of 7. Wadribuhum alayya inda ashar, hadith in Tirmidhi, when they 10 years old, you must discipline them, punish them also. So although salat may not be compulsory, sleeping, you understand, waking up 10, 11, 12 o'clock, you say, no, it's holiday, it's weekend, they don't read Fajr, the parents don't care. So what is that? Remember that the parents are shirking their responsibilities. Second one is, now you want to rush for the first serve, Mustafa, and the Imam is already going to ruku or in ruku. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alaykum bis sakina, you must be calm in the masjid. This is the place of Allah's mercy. It's not a stadium we're going to run and, you know, exercise and all that. So, ma adraktum faswallu, in whichever posture, position you got the Imam, so you join the Imam. Wa ma fatakum faatimu, whichever rakat you must, then you complete it after the Imam has completed his salat. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed, to run around in the masjid, all that not permissible. Islam teaches us, do your duty with beauty. So there must be sakina. It's not showing that. You will see in the masjid, the Imam goes into ruku, is like the 100-meter race is on. People are rushing and that. So that is not Islam. That is jahalat and ignorance.
Mufti Sahib, is smoking allowed in Islam or is it completely haram?
Not permissible at all. Not to buy, not to sell, not to smoke. Why? Number one, it is wasting money. Surah 17, verse 27. Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. You waste money, all that, you become brother of shaitan. So it's squandering wealth. There's no benefit in it. It's written there, harmful to your health and what have you. Secondly, it is harmful to human beings, harmful to the environment. La dharara wa la dirar. Authentic hadith in Mu'tama Malik, don't cause harm to yourself, don't cause harm, you must remember to others. Third one, kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Don't make israf and waste in your eating, drinking. So, innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. So therefore, there are so many factors one can use. So therefore, our verdict is, I should tell the people now in Hajj, in ihram, is absolutely haram for you all to smoke. But still, they'll go behind the toilet, go here, there, and they'll smoke. You don't want to fear me, you must fear Allah. The love of Allah must saturate our hearts. Then in the khalwa and jalwa, in privacy and public, we have the fear of Allah. And once that comes, it starts with the love of Allah, and it ends off with khashya. The love for Allah and the fear of Allah based on love and respect for Allah. That is Islam.
Mufti Sahib, can you give the interest from RAF policy, I think the Road Accident Fund policy, to a poor relative? And what is the most that you can bequeath to a non-heir?
Okay, these are three separate questions. One is Road Accident Fund. So you know that there was one person drunk or what have you. So he was driving and he drove straight into that person, Allah forbid. So for you to claim from the Road Accident Fund is totally permissible. For what we all paying taxes and all this type of thing. You know South Africa, they're taxing us till we become, yes, then grey in our beards also. So you must remember that to claim from them, so when you are entitled to, is totally permissible. Secondly, that the interest in that, obviously that would not be permissible, so that you give to the poor Muslim, poor non-Muslim, whoever you want to, or you keep it and pay your taxes and tolls and all that with it, that also is acceptable. And third one will be that now, that is a separate question, a person is drawing up his will. Maybe he got adopted children, or maybe he's got brothers, sisters. So in a case like that, where there's a non-heir, but that person is a good person, help you in life, or you like the person, love the person. So first thing you do, burial, funeral expenses. Second thing is the debts of the deceased. So whether it's personal debts, business debts, corporate debts, all debt must be paid from the estate to the creditors. And third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath to non-heirs. A person or organization, you say you bequeathing to Markaz Sahaba or to Radio Al-Ansar or to Sirius FM. So all that is fine. But maximum amount, 1/3 of the total estate. And adopted children, you bequeath for them. For your brother or sister, you can bequeath for them when your father is alive. Because your father will deprive all siblings. Your son will deprive all siblings. Remember that golden rule. I die, I have my father. My father passed away in 1982 Ramadan. I'm giving example. So Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannat will fill those. So the father will deprive my siblings. I have a son. So my son will deprive all my siblings. So you want to bequeath for your brothers, sisters, is fine. When your father, son are alive, and so one of them. So in that case, you cannot exceed more than one third of the estate. And the last one will be the shares of the heirs. In mansa duat as ana mansa bruat. So when you pass away, the bread, the budal, the money, the estate goes to others. So that is the system Islam has, which is perfect.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, can you have a function in a hall that is attached to other places of worship of other faiths, or if the hall is attached or detached, or the actual place of worship of other faiths?
It's totally haram that you want to have a nikah or the walima or whatever function there next to the church, and that building, the income goes to the church or temple or synagogue. Quran Kareem states, Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not cooperate in sin and transgression. And where is our ghayrat? Ghayrat means our self-respect, our own self-honor. So today they're slaughtering, murdering our people. Look at what's happening there in Kashmir. And now you want to go in their temple or near their temple and so forth there to give them some money. So think about it. How can ever that be justified? Or the church, you see what they are doing in Iraq and Afghanistan and all that. They're Christians. So backed by their so-called Christian government. Whenever the white shooters shoot people there in America, in Texas, or wherever, Christianity never comes up. White man is not a terrorist, but if his name is Muhammad or Ahmed or Abdullah, Abdul Qadir or Hussein or whatever, so then the Muslim will come up, Islam will come up, terrorism will come up. So where's our self-respect and self-honor? So the church or the synagogue and so forth, we have nothing to do with them. So you must have in your own places your own functions.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us already to 15:33. It's time for a break. And after the break, we continue with the Q&A right until 5 to 4.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this last part of the Q&A program brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufti Sahib, our next question, please explain how to perform tayammum. When does one perform tayammum, and is this the way ghusl is also performed?
Question, look at the sababun nuzul, the reason and the circumstances why the ayat of tayammum was revealed. This is Siddiqa bintu Siddiq. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, that's her name, Aisha radiallahu anha. Her father is Sayyidina Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. Her mother is Umme Ruman. So all of them are Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And her brother is Abdurrahman, same parents, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha and Umme Ruman. So they were traveling, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And she states, In qata iqdun li, my necklace fell down. Her necklace falls down, subhanallah. Then said Abu Bakr is furious, the time of Salat is approaching and entering and there's no water. So Almighty Allah sends the ayat down. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. When you are in a place where there is no water, or because of your illness and sickness, you cannot touch water, your condition will deteriorate, so then you make tayammum. Who is Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq? Aisha, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved and honorable wife. When she loses the necklace the second time, the munafiqeen and hypocrites cast allegations, slander our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, from above the heavens sends down the verse, and that is Surah 24, verses 11 to 26. 16 verses for the Bara'a, exonerating and proving the innocence of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Can you imagine how honorable the lady is? Therefore, Sahaba said that your daughter loses the necklace, but it turns out to be a bounty and a blessing for the ummah. Ma hiya bi awwala barakatikum ya ala Abi Bakrin. Sahaba used to tell Sayyid Abu Bakr that your family is so beloved to Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala and to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, tayammum, how you perform tayammum, Thawban radiallahu anhu is the rawi, the reporter, he states at tayammum udarbatan, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you strike the earth, the sand, the land twice. So one time you strike it, and then you can shake it, the sand, but the dust must fall off. Then before tayammum, you must make intention. Intention, tayammum means intention. Wala tayammamul khabith. When you give out in the path of Allah, don't make intention of those things that are torn, tattered and haram things. So that is the first intention. Then you strike your hand on the land, on the sand. Hanafi say on the brick, on the wall also it's fine. There's normal walls we have, so although it's painted, it's fine, Hanafis. And thereafter you make masa of your face once. Thereafter, you strike your hand, the palm again on the land, sand, or Hanafi say wall and brick, all that is fine. And thereafter, you take your left hand and make masa from the top of your fingers of the right hand, right till the elbows, including the elbow once. Then with your right hand, you make masa, you rub your left hand from the top of your finger till the, including the elbow of the left hand. So finish. فَمْسَحُوا بِهُجُوِيكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ That's all. And now your tayammum is done. So this is ablution in the absence of water, sand ablution we'll call it. So that is what Islam teaches us. It is the unique feature and distinction of this ummah and enshrined in the noble Quran. Second one is that when do you perform it? I told you, when there's no water, 3-4 kilos in that area, there isn't. Or a person is very, very ill, and remember that the water, if you touch it and you take it, then remember that there will be severe consequences, your condition will deteriorate. Even for ghusl, you can use tayammum, the same manner and method, that a person has to take first ghusl, but the condition of that person is so ill, so you just make intention for ghusl, and the method is the same. So that is how you perform tayammum.
Mufti Saab, what is the ruling on taking ghusl for the Islamic New Year?
Remember, that's fine. It's not a sunnah, but we will say that it is good. A Muslim must be clean, fulfill your duty with beauty. Normally, people like us, we take every day a bath, or every day a shower, whether it's summer or whether it's winter and so forth. So, mashallah, they in Mina and Arafat and that, I should tell our brothers, go and take a bath there. So one chap will say that, no, the water is cold. So I say, you do, it's all hot here. So you just take 1 minute, 2 minute shower. So what is there? In 1 minute, you'll get dry also. But you see, we are brought up in the lap of luxury. So we used to take so many times cold bath and all that when we used to study in Karachi and all these kind of things. So all this is not difficult. But people today, so the bath every day is very good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظِيفٌ يُحِبُّ النَّظَافَ Hadith in Tirmidhi, Allah Jalla Wala is very, very clean and loves cleanliness. And remember in Islam, when we go to school, they want to come teach us all this. Cleanliness is next to godliness. All this they stole from Islam. Remember, Islam taught us all this. فِيهِ رِجَالُوا يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّةَ تَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ Allah loves those people who are pure and clean.
Mufti Saab, can we read our qaza for Fajr at Fajr time?
Remember that when the sun rises, the time for Fajr has expired and the shaitan has already urinated in your ears. And the hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. Bala shaitanu fi udhunay. Therefore, the munafiqeen and hypocrites, and there's no shortage of them today. So all this azab going on in so many countries for the Muslims. So Allah alone knows best. But if you take a survey, You will see majority of the ummah, 60, 70, 80, 90%, not reading salat. Maybe they'll think about reading Jummah salat. So when we speak of the mercy of Allah, but we break the laws of Allah daily, deliberately, intentionally. So remember, why did you miss Fajr salat? There's a question you need to ask. So anyway, 15 minutes or so after that, then you read your sunnahs, and then you read your Fajr salat, and you get a major, major sin. For that, you must make tawbah as well. If you miss your salat deliberately because of soccer, cricket, film, movies, all that, and you missed it, you're out of the fold of Islam, your nikah is broken, and you won't be buried in a Muslim graveyard. That is the verdict of majority sahaba. Go open Kitab al-Salat of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah, celebrated student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Go open Sahih Muslim. That is the verdict of majority sahaba radiallahu anhum. Remember, that is the verdict of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal among the four schools. According to the Shafi's, Malikis, the person misses salat deliberately, intentionally, capital punishment, put him to death, finish. He's a liability to this ummah. Hanafi say, put him in jail, incarcerate him, imprison him, hatta yamut or yatub, till he makes tawbah or he dies. You all can see the severe, the consequences that are there, and might seem severe, because for munafiqeen, that is what is the punishment. So salat must be part of our life, our daily program. Everything in life must rotate around salat. I'm traveling from here to there, to there, to there, different time zones. Where will we read salat? Where will we do this? Where will we do? That is the Muslim. The first thing that concerns us is our salat. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِذُونَ Quran says that Pakka, Satcha, true, devoted, dedicated Muslim is he who guards his salat fi safar wal hadar, whether in your hometown or whether you're traveling.
Mufti Saab, a Muslim girl wants to marry a Christian boy, fully understanding that she'll be cut off from the family and against their wishes. What advice can we give both of them as they insist on marriage? Can he become a Muslim and marry?
Remember that, sister, if you marry him and he remains a Christian and you're happy with that, you yourself are out of the fold of Islam, because you are now allowing a haram thing to continue and you considering it, believing it to be halal. Surah 60, verse number 10. La hunna hillu lahum wa la hum yahilluna lahun. It's not permissible for any Muslim lady to marry any non-Muslim male, whether he's Jew, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, whatever. So no Muslim lady is allowed to marry him. Just look at it from a logical perspective, sister. If you marry him, you have children. So these children, yeah, will become Christian. They'll follow the father. Or he will bring the cross and the crucifix in your house. He might have wine and swine in your house. So what will happen? You yourself have lost Islam. So absolutely haram it is. And I told you what happens to you. Yes, if he embraces Islam, and then you are happy, then your parents also must be happy. Then only you can marry. If you marry him, that is this person, even if he embraces Islam, and your father and your parents and them are not happy, then nikah is null and void and not permissible. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Abu Dawood, La nikaha illa biwaliyin. The nikah is not valid without the consent of the guardian, the father, the dada, paternal grandfather, or the uncle, the chacha, the kaka, al-am, that is the father's brother, paternal uncle. And remember that Ishafi's, Malikis, Hanbalis, null and void. In this case, even according to Hanafis, the nikah is null and void, because you must remember, when you marry that person there and he embraced Islam, you know nothing about him and so forth and so on. You know nothing about his family. So when a Hanafi girl, aqila baligha, sane and mature, marries somebody who's ghair kuf, who's not compatible, suitable for her, the nikah is batil, null and void. Open the Grand Mufti, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah's fatwa and verdict. On page 551 of Imdadul Muftin, you will find it there, the Hanafi fatwa.
Mufti Sahib, pertaining to Salah, why is it that the Dhuhr and Asr Far Salah is read silently?
Initially, it was said loudly, but the non-Muslims, you know, they burn with their rage and anger. Hasadam min indiam fusihim. They're always jealous of Islam and Muslim. They used to kick up a big, big racket and make noise. La tasma'u lihadha al-Qur'an walghaw fihi la'allakum taghlibun. So make big noise. So they must get confused and nobody must listen to them. So Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala say to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, read the salat softly so they don't get opportunity to cause you all harm and so forth. Our function is not aql. Our function is naql. Our duty is to imitate and emulate Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore we continue reading Zuhr and Asr softly, silently. Jummah time we read it loudly, because Jummah time the crowd is big, so we want to show Shaukatul Islam, the power of Islam. Go to the BBC documentaries and go and see the rise of the crescent and the fall of the cross and the crucifix. The churches are empty. I went to Europe, South America, all these places. Most of the places, churches are empty, and the masajid are full, full, overflowing. You go to Moscow, subhanallah. You must remember, if you go there to the Jami Masjid, subhanallah, that hotel is there, Olympic Hotel, near it, 5-star, very nice, 4-star, 5-star hotel, walking distance you go. 20,000, 30,000 people come there for Jummah Salat. Eat time, 200,000 people in the heart of Moscow. So that is Islam, my brother. Nobody can stop it. No person in the White House, no person in Red Square can stop the rise of Islam. Remember, that is Islam, Allah's promise to us. يُرِيدُونَ أَيُّدْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They want to extinguish the radiance and effulgence and the celestial light with their mouths and their media. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will let Islam prevail in all parts of the world, even though the non-Muslims hate it and detest it.
Mufti Sahib, what happened to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam on the day of Ashura?
Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam is that mighty messenger of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. His honorable name is mentioned 136 times in the Noble Quran. The most a Nabi is mentioned in the Noble Quran. He was dark in complexion, but Allah elevates whoever he wants. So he told the Pharaoh, you know, I have miracles. And when he showed him his hand, فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ, it was white and shining and glittering. But when people are drunk with power, they feel they can do whatever they want to. So the Pharaoh said, I am God, Allah forbid. So crazy he was. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. So Almighty Allah gave him respite. And then, فَأَسْرِي بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ. One day they were having a festival. The Pharaoh, his army, and his police and people, wine, dine, swine, all that while they were busy. So that night Almighty Allah told Nabi Musa, Nabi Harun al-Islam, you take them out of this bondage and move from there, from Egypt. Now look at the beauty, the style, the glory of the Quran, Hafiz Wadi, you're a Hafiz, mashallah. So they left. When they reached the sea, it was Ishraq time. The sun is rising. And in his glory and beauty, فَأَتْبَعُوهُمْ مُشْرِقِينَ وَتَقَوْفُ. So Ishraq time. The people told Nabi Musa alayhi salam, serious problems for us. إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. In front is the ocean, behind us is the Pharaoh and his army. Nabi Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah. Oh Allah, I'm speaking to you now. So he said, Kalla nay, إِنَّمَا يَا رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Allah will assist and show us what to do and guide us. Hit the ocean, O Musa alayhi salam, fadrib bi asaq al bahr. Take your staff, your stick, and hit the Red Sea. And then it opened. Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his people crossed over. The army, Pharaoh, and them are observing with their own eyes. And lo and behold, when their turn came, the water met. So the sun is rising and that land open. So Almighty Allah is teaching us about, and this happened on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. I mentioned in Bukhari, Muslim, various these kitabs, and various Mishkat Sharif and so forth. These people were under bondage and slavery for years and years. They could not even dream and, you know, think that one day the tyranny of Pharaoh will come to an end. So Almighty Allah removed the body of the Pharaoh and to show them that this is the ending of these zalims. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٌ Almighty Allah preserve the body of the Pharaoh so that it will be a lesson for humanity and posterity. So Almighty Allah is showing us He is totally in control and not people. So this is what happened on the 10th. One day, one non-Muslim asked the Muslim scholar, which piece of land is there on the face of the earth? The sun was shining there once only. Never did the sun shine there before. Never did the sun shine there after. So the alim was a true alim. He said, the day when Nabi Musa alayhi salam came to the ocean, struck the ocean with his stick and staff, and that ocean became land and sand. فَأَتْبَعُوهُمْ مُشْرِقِينَ Ishraq time it happened. And then when the Pharaoh and them came, the waves came and end of the story. So that is the land and sand. The sun was shining there once only, not before, not after. So when you study the Quran, وَأَجَائِبُهُ لَا تَنْقَذِي Tirmidhi's hadith. The jewels of the Quran will never get finished. وَلَا يَشْبَعُ مِنْهُ الْعُلَمَاء And the true ulama'i Rabbani and ulama'i haq, they will never ever get satisfied and filled. Every day they will look for something new and new in the Quran. So that's why Quran Sharif was, is, will always be the greatest miracle of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tisab, is this authentic that to write 113 times Bismillah, it will increase one's rizq and sustenance?
I met Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah passed away in 1976. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri passed away in 77. They were the greatest ulama in Pakistan during our time there. So remember, Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahimahullah wrote this in Jawahir ul-Fiqh. But that is not a sunnah or something Quran taught us or something the ahadith mubarakah. This is what you call amal us-salihin. Some pious people, some buzrugs, they tried it and it worked out. So if a person does it, we will say acceptable, but we can never say sunnah or anything of that sort. So we need to be very, very clear on that issue. So if somebody writes down 113 times Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and so forth, we'll say permissible and you keep it and so forth, but remember, it's not sunnah. So in life we must always give preference to Quran Sharif, the sunnah mubarakah, the actions of sahaba radiallahu anh. Then you come to the awliyaullah and the pious people.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah Khair for that. We come to the end of the Q&A program. We request Mufti Sahib to conclude with the nasiha for this first day of Muharram 1441.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that we saw the beginning of this month. We saw the moon last night after Maghrib with our own eyes. Alhamdulillah. So first thing I want you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Al Ansar International, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, to do now is to read with me. Allahu Akbar Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Hadith in Abu Dawood. Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, make this month and this new moon and crescent a month of khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness for us, our families, and the Ummah and Muslimah throughout the globe. Second one, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this dua. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wal salamati wal islami wal tawfiq. O Almighty Allah, let the crescent and the new moon loom upon us with our safety and security regarding our iman, our islam, our assets, our life, our properties, our honor, and grant us tawfiq, the ability, capacity to say those things and do those actions, lima tuhibbu wa tarda, which you love and you are pleased with it, O beloved Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbukallah. Ya Allah, you are my sustainer, nourisher. You are the sustainer, nourisher of the celestial creation, the moon, the crescent, everything. So that is the beautiful second dua. Third one, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anhu, buried next to Masjid al-Aqsa. He states, the Habib of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read, when the new month would still start, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you're reading individually, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadha shahr. Oh beloved Allah, I ask of thee the best of this month. And collectively, Allahumma inna nas'aluka khayra hadha shahr. Ya Allah, we ask of thee the best of this month for all of us. So these are the three masnoon sunnah duas a person should read in the bidayati shuhur, when this lunar month start. And because today is the first of Muharram and it is a new month and the new year, 1441, so in Tabarani, T-A-B-A-R-A-N-I, Tabarani, so it is mentioned that this dua also one should read, Allahumma adkhilhu alayna bil amni wal imani was salamati. Allahumma adkhilhu alayna bil amni wal imani was salamati. Wa ridwanim min ar-Rahman. Ya Allah, we want your pleasure. You must be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Wa jiwarim min ash-shaytan. Wa jiwarim min ash-shaytan. And we seek the protection of Almighty Allah from the shaytan and his agents and cronies. So the hadith mentioned in Tabarani, and it is acceptable in Fadail. So yes, O Ummah, we all should take stock of ourselves. Will we make 1441 a better year, or will keep it the same, status quo remains, business as usual, or will we become worse, Allah forbid? So we all should strive to become better Muslims, better ambassadors of Islam. Waqte tulu deka, waqte ghurub deka, of fikr akhirat hai dunya ko khub deka. We saw the rise and fall of people and nations, the rise and decline of nations. So now we saw so much of this dunya, so many countries, so many places. Now we should have the fikr and the concern of the year after. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make our khatima and on iman. May Almighty Allah bless you. Jazakallah khair of his wadi. Our brother Dawood Munli, barakallah fikum. My brother Lukolo, thank you very much. We'll go for the Asr Azan. Jazakallah khair to all the listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say shukran and wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Sahib and to the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Radio Lansar, Sirius FM, and we say shukran to the technicians as well. Until next week, we say fi amanillam assalama. Remember, Mufti Sahib is going to be touring Durban from this Wednesday, the 4th of September, right until the 9th, and tomorrow evening, a special program for the Hujjaj that's going to be taking place at the Avondale Musalla, that is strictly for males. That program taking place tomorrow. For those that are going for Umrah for the very first time, remember, program exclusively for you is going to be on Saturday, the 7th, at the Al Ansar Foundation. Until then, we say fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.